You're listening to Air Candy, an uninhibited exploration of topics, ideas, and stories.
And we in.
All right. Would you eat me? All right, let go.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Air Candy, where we like to talk about all sorts of topics ranging from serious to ridiculous while sharing our unprofessional opinions and advice. I'm your humble host, Colleen, and with me as always is my armchair prepper, Seth.
Heyo.
On today's episode, we're discussing all things survival and how to be prepared. But before we get into that, if you haven't already liked and subscribed to the show, please do so wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on any future episodes. If you want to connect with us online, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Air Candy Podcast. If you have a question, comment, or episode idea, you can drop us a line on one of the socials or send an email to aircandypodcast@gmail.com, and either Seth or I will get back to you as soon as possible. And with all that out of the way, let's get into it.
All right, season two, we in the building.
We in the building. We here, finally.
What?
We survived season one.
Yeah, we actually survived this and season 1.5. We actually survived that too.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun, though. Season 1.5 was actually fun. That was almost a season in its own because we were definitely cranking out some stuff. We tried some new things.
Yes.
I mean, and let's talk about the confession corners. Those are starting to crank in, so we're throwing those things in. And this season, we're going to have some more of those, too. So, Indeed. Guys, keep sending those things in because they're getting more and more off the chain. So,
they are. But which I love. I love that. And, yes, this has been a really fun, long season. So,
yeah.
I'm glad that we're moving into the next phase. But I really have enjoyed everything that we've done. And we are going to keep some of the things that we did experiment with. We're going to keep it as we move forward. So we do want to hear back from everybody, too. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. You know,
please.
We're always willing to make some adjustments here and there, you know, because this is – we do this. Who do we do this for?
Ourselves.
For you.
I said ourselves. I'm a greedy ass. My fault. For you. For you. That's my thing. And all this time I said we do it for ourselves.
I know. That's why I set you up and you fucking struck out there.
Oh, man. That was a complete softball pitch. You know what I'm
saying? Right in and swing and miss.
But you are 100% right. We are doing it for our listeners. We do it for us, meaning that we don't have to report to anybody because we do what we want.
Right. Exactly. You.
So absolutely. I'm glad we survived this and we're still surviving. Coronavirus got us surviving, got us in survival mode.
Right.
So this is where it's at. This is a perfect episode that we need to talk about this. Now,
Yes. Truth
be told, look, guys, this isn't going to be doom and gloom. This is definitely going to be cheeky. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of stuff you guys can learn about it when it comes to talking about this. And you might be surprised at some of these things. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
First thing, let's talk about the food shortages recently.
I've been hearing a lot about this, hearing a lot about food shortages.
Yeah, and we don't live that far apart from each other. So what the hell is going on with this, man? This is like turning into an apocalyptic type situation. Like, are you having food shortage issues right now or what?
Yes, in the supermarkets around where I am, shelves are definitely looking a bit bare. But I mean, I'm not freaking out over it because I don't need a bunch of stuff and I tend to have some things on hand, so I'm not freaking out. But I see and hear people like on Nextdoor.com and all these things, people just freaking out like, oh my God, there's no food. Ah!
I know. I'm seeing people on Facebook talk and people that are mutual friends of ours about what's going on with these shelves. I shot over here and get the meat and there's no meat. It's empty shelves. I'm thinking like.
Yes. The two things I keep hearing are meat and cat food. Those are the things that are like, there's no meat, no cat food.
Well,
like,
we have a big homeless population out here, so maybe they're taking up all the... No, okay, that's not right.
That's a bad joke. Jeez. Good night. God.
Dude, I am an ass.
And that's why we love you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the food shortages. So I went to the place the other day. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I went there just to see what's going on because I get my produce delivered in general, but sometimes I like to have meat. So I'm looking, and I was like thinking that there's going to be a shortage, so I might as well buy a bunch of meat and grind it up and turn it into sausage or whatever I want to. A whole other story. But anyway, man, there was food all over the place. I was like, what are these people talking about? There's food everywhere.
Maybe it was the store that you went to, because I think a lot of the people that are talking about the shortages, they're in like more of the like the Walmarts and the things like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I feel like they're in those stores. I mean, I don't know for sure. That's just me.
I was in a Harris Teeter, dude. I mean, that's a general store. It's not anything special, but it could have been because we're supposed to get some impending snow, which turned out to be rain. So people all of a sudden think that if there's snow on the ground, there needs to be freaking, you know, you got to go buy your meats and eggs and cheese and water for what? 24 hours of conditions, and you'll still have to go to work anyways. It's not like you're surviving out here.
Right. It's really funny the way people think about this type of stuff. And we're going to talk about that too in a little later.
Yeah, this is a very good topic. I think it's a lot of fun, especially, you know, this should be one of my rants about grinding my gears about these damn people buying up everything when there's going to be two snowflakes on the ground.
I know.
People in upstate New York are laughing like hell. People, all these Canucks up there are laughing at us too.
Yeah.
Shoot, Michigan is like, man, y'all need to know. You know.
Exactly. Yeah, where we live in Maryland, people definitely get a little cray-cray over nothing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But since we are survivors, we survived.
I'm a survivor.
So I got a little... Yeah, you are a survivor. Well, we're going to see. We're going to see how well of a survivor you are. I got a little pop quiz for you. I got some quiz questions for you to see how survival... savvy. Thank you. I was going to check your survival prowess.
How survival savvy is Colleen?
All right. Are you ready? I got four questions
for you. Yes, I'm a little nervous because I feel like I'm going to make a fool out of myself because I really don't know much about this stuff. But
and that's why we're talking. Yep, this will be fun. And this is, hey, look, once people listen to these questions.
I will survive.
Listen to these questions and be like, oh, I don't know a lot about this either. Let me listen to this podcast and just not hit next.
Yeah. All right.
You ready, baby?
Sure.
All right. Question number one. What can you use to cook meat without heat? Is it A, baking soda, B, lemon juice, or C, direct sunlight?
Oh, I'm going to pick lemon juice because of its acidic quality.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm correct?
You're absolutely correct. So
I was thinking ceviche.
Exactly, and that's exactly what happens. If you leave ceviche out for too long, then it actually cooks the meat, if it's fish or shrimp or whatever it is, too. So if you were, let's say you were in a survival situation and you didn't have electricity, but you had some meat that you really wanted, but you wanted to eat it and not throw it away, you could absolutely just take a whole bunch of lemon juice. You can do lime juice, too, something really acidic.
Yeah.
Throw your meat in there, let it sit for a number of hours, and it'll basically cook the meat because of its acidity, and then you can eat it.
Hooray. She ain't as dumb as she looks, folks. All right.
Yep. She is surviving.
So far.
All right. Number two. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
All right. What is the sure way to kill a zombie? Is it A, shot to the head / decapitation, B, stab in the heart, or C, slice in half?
Oh, you gotta put it right through the brain.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. You know that, so you will survive the apocalypse.
Thank you, Walking Dead.
Right, Walking Dead.
I'm very well versed.
# Walking Dead. Thank you. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't just decapitate them because then the head will just be there trying to eat you still. So you have to actually through the brainstem.
You can absolutely do that. So I did say / decapitation because depending on which scary film you watch, you can cut their head off.
That's true.
Or you can stab, you know, you can bash their head in. But if you're stabbing them in the heart, that's not going to work. If you slice them in half,
vampires.
You know that. Yep, exactly. Very smart. And if you slice them in half, you know, they'll still be crawling with the top half.
Yes.
Like,
they're still coming at you.
Right. All right, next one. All right. How long do you need to boil water for purification? Is it A, 1 minute, B, 3 minutes, or C, 10 minutes?
Ooh. I'm just going to be on the safe side. I'm going to say this is wrong, but I was going to say 10 minutes.
So, yes, and I didn't phrase this question right. I should have said, what is the minimum amount of time you need to boil something? That was actually what I should have done. So, the minimum time. So, you are right.
Okay.
But just to edify you and our listeners too, the minimum amount of time they need to boil water to have it be purified to a rolling boil is 1 minute.
Okay.
So if you have a contaminated water type situation, you want to get out the protozoa and all the kind of viruses that are in there. Or let's say you're lost in the woods somewhere and you have to drink creek water, but you don't know where it's come from exactly. There could be a farm up the road somewhere.
Runoff.
You don't know. Yeah, runoff. So you need to have it at a rolling boil for 1 minute. So
then I was wrong because I said 10.
Yeah, but I didn't phrase the question right. Because if you did it for 10 minutes, you'd be good. But then you would allow the water would evaporate.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Because I was actually going to say 3 because I was thinking 10 minutes, there's going to be a lot of evaporation. I'm not going to have as much water. But I was like, yeah, err on the side of caution, 10 minutes.
You're right. Because if you don't want to be peeing out your butt, you know, you got to make sure you get rid of them Jeremy Jarens.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to know this, guys, listen to, you can go to the CDC website, too, and actually gives some factoids about that, too. So if you want to get some another source sort of Seth's mouth, you can do that. All right. You ready? One more.
Yes.
And the last one.
I like these.
I told you like these. I'm not going to try to give you the crazy hard ones. All right. This is practical, right?
It is.
All right. What is the highest temperature meat can be to stay safe?
Okay.
And I'm going to rephrase this. What is the minimum temperature that food needs to be? I'm saying the highest temperature. You can't go any higher than whatever it is. So did you follow what I'm saying here?
Yes.
All right. So it's A, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, B, 40 degrees Fahrenheit, or C, 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
For raw meat to stay
safe. And let's just say, you know, chicken, beef, we can even say elk, buffalo, like normal stuff, like normal meats. I ain't talking about no squirrel now. I'm just talking like...
And this is not treated at all, so I'm going to say 40.
Not treated. Okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Ding. You are right. Your food will stay safe up to 40 degrees. Anything after 40 degrees, that is considered the quote-unquote danger zone. Now, here goes a little fun fact.
To the danger zone.
Exactly. So next time you go to a cookout and that meat's been sitting there for too long before Uncle Ray Ray put it on the grill, you start thinking of that song.
Yeah. Danger zone. Danger
Highway
zone.
Highway through the poopy zone.
Look out, folks.
So yeah, fun fact. Hashtag fun fact. So if you look at some thermometers, depending on where you buy them from, there's going to be this little red thing. There's this little space in between. It'll be red or it might be blue. That will give you the minimum safe temperature that something's supposed to be. So if it goes outside that, then you know that you're in the danger zone.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
All right.
Helpful.
So there you go. So it sounds like you're ready for the zombie apocalypse.
I did better than I thought.
Yeah. You see? So you know what? That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I'm just impressed. How about
that?
Yay. Yeah. All right. So let's get into this a little bit. All right. Let's talk about this. All right. So what exactly is preparedness? Tell me, like, what are the actual government guidelines to be like for real, for real?
Okay. Right? So I found a definition supplied and provided by the DHS and FEMA. So they're defining preparedness as a continuous cycle of planning, organizing, training, equipping, exercising, evaluating, and taking corrective action in effort to ensure effective coordination during incident response.
Good night.
Yes, that is what they officially define preparedness as.
Okay. So
and
how do
when
we put
you
that
get
in layman's
into
terms
this,
here?
I mean... I would just stick to the very, very beginning, a continuous cycle of planning and organizing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it breaks down to doing all these other things. And when you think about all of this, depending on the situation, the scenario, your location, the people, everything's going to change, you know, slightly or even drastically sometimes. It's not going to be the same for everybody. That's what people need to keep in mind. And I've been looking around. And basically, all of the government sites, all they really tell you to do is to have enough stuff prepared to get you through like 3 days. Everything's like, you know, 72 hours. In my opinion, I feel like that's not enough. But again, it depends on what scenario you're trying to actively prepare and plan for. But I just
totally
wanted
agree.
To touch on that basically all the government sites are telling you about 72 hours to get you through.
I totally agree. 3 days, okay. It's almost like, and I promise I'm not going to go into a rant here. I'm just going to say it's almost like how they have the FDA and had like the five food groups or the amount of calories you need to eat. Right. And they had like these, you know,
the pyramid.
Yeah, the pyramid. And like, okay, you need a $2,000 calorie a day diet and blah, blah, blah. 3 days. I mean, come on, dude. Like 3 days. I mean, let's talk about some of the stuff that's happened recently.
Yeah.
The snow, the pandemic with all the people buying toilet paper for 18 weeks,
right?
52 weeks, whatever. Like people going crazy. So, and that's just panicking. So 3 days, I mean.
Yeah, I feel like it's not enough. The most recent updated guideline was in 2020, and it still is 72 hours. I would think that after our recent, you know, experiences in the world, all of us globally, that they would have bumped it up to at least two weeks.
Well, yeah, 2 weeks. I would say a week if you're going to be. Because you know how the government
bare
is,
minimum.
You know, they're very like, okay, let's go for the bare minimum here, right? So, because maybe they're scared they're going to scare somebody. I don't know.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, that maybe telling people 3 days is a little less intimidating than.
Yeah.
Because if you start telling people, you need to have stockpiles for a month, people freak out over just a month. Like, that doesn't scare me at all, but people will freak the fuck out over 4 weeks.
These motherfuckers out here are going crazy on Facebook and everything else. Biden, you need to fix this country. I haven't had chicken in my grocery store for 3 days.
I know. Like, really?
Really?
Come on. Come on. Spoiled much?
Yeah, right?
Are we spoiled at all here? Come on.
We don't even know. We don't even know. We don't even know.
Shit's bananas.
Yeah, you're right. At least there's some kind of guideline there. So at a minimum, if people can do that, great. Sure, that's fine. And then we have these common terms too. You know, we got the bug out bags, the go bags, and the inch bag.
Yeah, there are a lot of buzzwords, right? A lot of buzzwords. A
ton of buzzwords that are out there.
Yeah, I want to know, with the buzzwords like bug out and whatnot, why don't you tell everybody what they mean? Just a quick overview of what they mean.
Okay, so
this
is my opinion, all right, because I am the resident armchair prepper, okay?
Yes.
So when you need to bug out, that means you need to just leave. You got to get out of Dodge. We've all heard that, right? You need to bug out. Everybody's kind of heard that. And that just means you're going to leave for a certain amount of time, depending
on the
type. Here,
bug out,
and
it makes me think of Tribe Called Quest.
Bugging out. Same. So that's the one term. Everybody's heard that. People have heard go bag, too, because you have a go bag depending on the type of scenario. If you're in the vein of survival prepper, you have a go bag, which would be a go bag that you grab that and you're ready to go within 30 minutes to 45 minutes to leave and not come back for an extended period of time. That could be weeks.
Yeah, so I actually heard of different names and acronyms that people use for their go bags. So like a good bag, an inch bag. So a good bag would be a get out of Dodge bag.
Okay.
An inch bag would be a I'm not coming home bag. So
yike.
They all mean the same thing, like you're leaving and you're not coming back, or you're going to be gone for an extended period of time. And that's kind of what all of that stuff means.
Yeah. And it's kind of scary with the whole inch thing. I was like, oh, I'm not coming home. Oh,
I ain't
coming
home.
Oh, man. I gotta make sure I just take my laptop in case someone finds out all my porn websites I'm going to. I got to make sure.
Yeah. Just smash it before you leave.
Right. I'm going to break
this. Destroy the evidence.
Oh, man.
So yeah, but I will put some links in the show notes to some of the government websites so that people can check them out, because there are lots of programs and webinars and things like that that are being provided for people for free. If you want to educate yourself, learn more about what you can do and how you can plan and start to prepare for some of this stuff, you know, I just think it's a good idea.
Absolutely.
I think it would be helpful for people to check it out, because one of the things I think is that nobody talks about this stuff enough, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of, you hear it in passing and then you think people are kind of nuts or whatever, but I think that it's something that people should talk about a little bit more, not to get scared and freak out, but just to start preparing.
I totally think so. And this is for everybody. This doesn't mean you have to go hiding in a bunker. This just means like, hey, man, if you're going to be stuck out for a couple of days, don't be crying on Facebook why they don't have steak, just sit in the house and be like, all right, this will be over soon because I got XYZ. I mean, that's what we're really talking about here. This is for everybody.
Yes.
So let's kind of talk about stuff for us. All right. Let's talk about this. All right. So let's go over a couple I'm laughing when I'm saying this because this is going to be a fun night when I talk about some of these. All right. Let's put ourselves in some survival situations.
Okay. All right.
And let's talk about, and we'll go back and forth, what you would bring to the table if you were in the situation. All right.
Okay. So like what kind of scenarios can you see yourself in? And got it. I got it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well, I'll tell you this much. Anytime I think of this kind of thing, the apocalypse, or I think of survival, or I think of any, like, I immediately think of zombie stuff because that's just what the mass media has been feeding me through the shows and whatnot. So I immediately go to that. So that's the first scenario that I see myself in.
All right, let's start there then. All right, let's say that there is a zombie apocalypse. You and I are making a podcast, and all of a sudden you see some shadowy figure running across your window, right?
Your window. First of all, is it going to be like the 28 Days Later fast running zombies, or is it going to be the slow ones? I'm hoping it's the slow ones.
I hope it's the slow ones too. If it's a 28 Days Later, my fat ass is going to get killed in like 5 minutes.
They are terrifying.
They fast as hell. Okay, so let's say that we're in that situation. So what would you be able to bring to the table in this zombie apocalypse, and can I come over your house?
Do you want to? I feel like I would be able to bring some common sense, but again, a lot of my common sense would be coming from Hollywood, so
okay.
Well, I don't know. Although I do have a lot of just basic medical knowledge as well, so I could probably be useful in that way, in kind of just using discernment in different situations, thinking from a medical perspective.
Okay.
I think that I could bring that kind of skill into it in that scenario.
Yeah, because you're thinking like, okay, at that type of situation, there's no electricity, there's nothing going on. So being on the medical side can definitely help when you're foraging, looking for stuff and blah, blah, blah. What I think I would bring in this, I would bring in like weapons. I'd be like, okay, this is how I make a whole bunch of spears and craziness so you can kill zombies and like traps and stuff.
Yeah, make that is your traps. Name too. So you would just be Seth Spears, the Spearsman.
Right. They call me the Spearman. Go to the Spearman. He is the key.
Yeah. We have Dr. Devaney and Spearsman.
Right. Exactly. So I think that I would be good at like booby traps and staying alive with these crazy zombies. And you would
that's
be
what
like,
I
okay.
Said. Booby trap. Sorry.
Booby traps. So yes. That's where I would go. All right, let's go to another scenario.
Okay, I got another one. All right. This is another one that has crossed my mind many times throughout my life.
Yeah.
So survival scenario of having a plane crash and being on a desert island or something like that.
You think about this shit too much.
Yeah, at least I'm not saying, oh, we're floating in the ocean. I'm saying the plane has gone down and we're close enough to some random piece of land and we're now stranded on a desert island.
Okay.
Survive.
All right.
Go.
And go. All right. So I'm going to put words in your mouth here. You know what I think that you would be bringing to the table with this?
Hugs.
You'd be the first one I kill. I was like, her ass ain't doing nothing but bringing hugs to the situation. How am I going to eat hugs?
You feeling down today? Let me hug you.
I can't eat hugs, bitch. What are you talking about?
I'm bringing the moral support.
Okay, so that would be what you can bring. Let's just say mental fortitude. How about that?
I'll try, yes.
The moral support. Oh, yeah. So, well, yeah, if you're going to bring moral support, you have to be tough yourself.
I know.
I think that you would bring clothes.
Clothes?
I think you'd bring, like, the know-how. Like, you'd be making, like,
bras I'd be sewing stuff together with coconuts.
Yeah, I think you'd be, like, palm Jeez. Things. That you would be, like, the clothing maker. You'd be making shoes and, like, oh, look at this bra I made with these two coconuts and some twine.
I can be very resourceful. So that's a good summation, I think, that I could potentially just be making shit that we could use with things that I find. So there you go.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. What's that survival show? Goodness gracious.
Naked and
everybody
afraid.
Loves. Yes, thank you. Naked and Afraid. They do that. Like some of the women on there, and the men too. They, you know, they take off the loincloth that they get given, and then all of a sudden they're making all these crazy little things to cover up their private parts. Anyway.
I'd like to think that I could do more than just cover up bits and pieces of people's bodies, but yeah.
I put words in your mouth, but you said you could bring hugs, so yeah, I think clothing's a little better than your damn hugs. You can't eat hugs, goddamn. Right. Well, you can't eat clothes either.
No, you cannot.
I think I would bring my skills that I think I would bring for that. If it was a desert island, I would bring water capture, and I've read a lot of stuff about that. Water capture, putting stuff inside a pit with a piece of plastic that you find is laying around, because there's trash all over the world. No matter where you're stranded, it's going to be trash there, right? Okay. Take that, let it evaporate and drip down to a thing. So I'd find a way to do water, and I'm an okay fisherman too. I'd probably find ways to start fishing to get us some food and to let things cook. I do know a little bit about friction fire. So those are things that I could probably bring if we were on an island. I don't think we lived that long from hugs and... And me and my little water capture thing, but we could live for a couple of weeks. I think we'd be all right.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So, I think we're doing all right. We're getting ready to survive this zombie apocalypse. We're going to be stuck on an island together. So, if it's just me and you, I think we can do all right. All right.
Any other scenario?
I think more of a, I'm going to call this urban type situation.
Right? Yeah. That's more realistic, I think.
Yeah. Let's talk about like an urban thing. Let's talk about a brownout. All right.
A loose booty.
Loose booty. Boop, 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 boop.
Only the DMV folks will get that.
Yeah, only DMV folks will understand that. That's great. Loose booty. I'm talking about, yeah, but everybody's heard of a blackout, right? Blackouts, yes. When you have no power, none of this kind of stuff. You have the rolling blackouts, stuff that happened over in Texas. And this is real life stuff that happened not that long ago. A brownout's kind of like that too, but brownout's just for not so much of a time. And, you know, these, and I think that the words are kind of synonymous too, but a brownout means like not the whole grid is down, but some of it's out for an extended period of time.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of practical, right? What if that were to happen? Let's say a tree falls over on a big station or something like that and knocks out power in PG County or in Laurel or whatever city that you live in for a time. So you don't have any power at all. So
how many days are you talking?
Let's say 2 weeks.
Okay. 2 weeks. Got it.
All right. So what would you bring to the table? Would you be on Twitter complaining about the Biden administration?
No, Lord, no, God, no. That's the dumbest shit. I wouldn't even be on social media at all. The only reason I would even be on anything would be to check for updates. But you know what? You gotta take into consideration is that you don't even have access to that stuff. So
true. Because your phone battery is gonna die.
And depending on what the situation is, you don't know exactly what caused the brownout. So you don't know if there was some other kind of, who knows, some attack or whatever. Just think back to 9/11. You don't have any idea. So it could be where there's no cell service. There's no, you never know. So let's just take that off the table.
All right. So what are you going to bring to the table? Me and you stuck in the house. There's a brownout. What are we going to do? There's nothing. There's no electricity in this damn house. What are you bringing to the table?
I'm bringing a deck of cards.
Okay.
We can play spades.
Here you go again with the damn hugs again. You're going to bring the moral support.
I'm saying something like that, though, would be very useful. I kind of say it jokingly, but let's be real. Like having some kind of way to distract your mind, have some fun, whatever, like playing cards or whatever is a great way to keep the stress level down, keep you occupied. So I don't see anything wrong with my cards.
I didn't say anything was wrong, but it's along the lines of your damn hugs again. I can't eat no hugs.
One thing I'd bring, yes.
You're absolutely right, because that happens a lot, right? When you're out of power, and that's one thing a lot of people do. They say, well, you got to have games, got something to keep you occupied while you're waiting for the power to come on. Let's just say that.
Yeah, because again, people will be losing their minds because nobody has been without some kind of, you know, scrolling device or whatever. Since the freaking 90s, people are so like obsessed and absorbed in that they don't have their phone for 2 seconds. They're losing their damn mind.
No, you're right. You're right. So I can agree with that. That's awesome. What I would bring to the table, you know, I'm the resident cook here. I think what I would bring to the table is finding out how to preserve and prepare food so we can just live for 2 weeks without anything. And let's just assume that the grocery stores are almost picked clean and you only have a certain amount of things. I think I would be finding ways to chef things up. Like, you know, my poor man's pots. I'd figure something out. Yes. I'd be like, all right, today's going to be, all right, we got some Dinty Moore. and we got some 7-day-old wilted lettuce. So we're gonna go ahead and make this. We're gonna make this a taco salad. I got some old corn chips in here. We're gonna figure this out.
No, I know it would be very creative, and I'd be like, "Yes, this is amazing." That. For sure. Because again, in this type of situation, you may have some time to fully prepare. So say, okay, now there's the power's out. Okay, cool. Let me run to the store and just get some things if necessary, if you have that option.
You're right.
There's more of an option. There's more wiggle room is what I'm trying to say in this particular situation.
100%. Like, this is kind of practical, right? You know, people always go crazy when we're going to get 2 snowflakes on the ground, right? So we have all that. You have time. The power goes out. Like, well, let me go here and get a couple little things here and there. Yes. I'm not. If it was me, I wouldn't be going to get fresh meat. No. I'd be finding all the canned goods, the dry stuff. I'd be like, okay, let me just do this so I can – I don't know how long it's going to be. Let's find out what's going on. So I think that's what I could bring to the table. Just the creativeness and seeing what's going on. And this is only for 14 days. If it was an extended period of time, I do know a little bit about wild edibles and all that. So I could definitely shine there. But that's a whole other situation. So.
Well, I think then if that's the case, then besides me bringing the card games and whatnot, that I would also be a very good sous chef for the Poor Man Pots.
Okay. Hey, remember our broke days? We used to do this shit like it was a Friday. Like, this isn't Survivor. This is Friday, dude.
This is normal. This is every day. Right? So.
Back in our broke days when me and you were in our 20s, man, that's what we used to do. We've been surviving
and we were
for years.
Happy as can be.
Man,
no
we
complaints.
Were happy with we a man, a can, and a plan.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. How many of those books did we have?
Right? 100%. Crazy.
Dude, that's hysterical.
Oh, man. All right. So at least it sounds like me and you can work on this. You know, you bring the hugs, you bring the games, bring the moral support. I can feed us, keep us together. You can, you know, if I get loose booty, you know, you can make me some new draws. You can do that.
I'm like, loose booty. Get outside. Get outside, you smelly bastard.
Nasty.
Nasty ass.
I'm going to weave you up something to clean yourself with. This is disgusting.
Gets the hose again.
So now it's time to get serious. All right.
Okay. Oh.
All right. So.
Very serious. Serious.
I'm gonna get serious. You and I have been friends for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And you know that we both love each other very much. So.
Yes.
If times really got rough, you know, and you know the zombies are going crazy, and you know, and. Things are getting a little rough, you know. The food's running out, you know. My poor man's pot's running out. So, you know, your hugs are starting to get really more
stale.
Like, weak. We're just kind of not even hugging. We're just kind of just holding each other.
Shaking.
And then I started thinking of, like, shaking and just like, okay, it's getting rough and food's gone. Would you eat me?
If we ran out of food... Would you eat me?
So it's time to get serious. I need your answer now. I got questions and I want your damn answer. Would you eat me? Would you murder me?
Dude, my first answer is no. Okay. Because I don't know. I don't know psychologically if I could get there. Now, given certain survival scenarios, things can change very quickly. Because of starvation mode and all these other things. So I can't give you a for real answer. All I can tell you right now is I say no. But.
So there's a caveat to that. I've seen the cartoons. Someone's not dead yet. And you got the salt shaker on.
shake. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, Seth, you know, okay, you look a little fine over there. Okay, let me get my salt
or,
ready.
Like, you start to hallucinate and you see the person turn into like a big carrot or potato, and you're like,
just like Tom and Jerry.
Yeah,
like
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. You turn into a steak.
Yeah.
Like,
Exactly.
All right. So this has actually happened in real life. And for folks that have no idea if this has really happened, it absolutely has happened. There is a book about this. It was a movie about this.
Sure.
You ever heard of the movie Alive? It's also a book called Alive. And and it was a soccer team. They had a plane crash just like you were talking about.
Yep.
the plane in crash, the but they were in the Andes. I wasn't say the Alps, but they were in the Andes. They were in the Andes and they were surviving, and they ended up having to eat each other. And yeah. some people are still alive to this day that actually survived that from eating yeah. people. So yeah. let's, you know, this again, this is kind of funny, right? So since you wouldn't eat me, let's get into the real factuals and actuals here.
Yeah, please.
Would you give up your body so I could live if you're about to die?
If I was about to die? Yeah. If I'm dying and I'm going to die, then do what you need to do to survive. I mean, I wouldn't say, oh, you're not allowed to touch me. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's very sweet. Because a lot of people probably wouldn't do that, though. You'd be like, well, look, I want to be buried right there. I'm going to die. You're going to bury me. You're going to just think about all the good things, that all the good times we had together.
No, absolutely not. No, if it comes down to survival and I'm going to die, then absolutely you need to do whatever you need to do. And if that means consuming me or whatever.
This is a morbid situation, but I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Stop.
All right. So here we go. All right. So we're in a situation, right? What would I eat first? I'll tell you what I'm not going to eat first. Not gonna eat your flat ass because you don't got nothing but little chicken cutlets in there.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That is not the spot you want to start.
I am not gonna start with them butt cheeks. I ain't starting with them cheeks.
You can make a nice bone broth, actually.
Out of your skinny, like emaciated body, you're passed out. I'm chopping you up and put you in a pot. And like, man, I was trying to eat a little more than this. All I got is some broth.
Right. It's a delicious bone broth.
There we go. So thank you for offering your body. So if I said, Colleen, I know I'm about to die because I got dysentery from eating some water that I didn't boil for the 1 minute. I just couldn't wait. So now I'm dying from dysentery. What would you eat?
Well, am I allowed to eat you still if you have dysentery?
I am offering my body to you.
If you have dysentery.
Well, whatever. Dysentery, you don't have to, it doesn't get inside the muscles.
Okay.
So if you had to, so if I say, Colleen, you have permission to eat me.
First thing I go for?
I'm waiting.
I go for that ass.
Jesus. You're going for that ass?
I go straight for that ass.
Well, I do have that bubble butt, right?
Yeah. So
you just turn me over and just start slicing away at that ass.
I just go straight mouth to cheek.
You just start gnawing on it. Loose booty my ass. This shit got meat. Oh my goodness. So, all right. I like that. That was a fun little scenario. So at least we have that, right?
It's fun talking about eating each other.
Right. Hey, look, my body's already dedicated to science, right? So if I die in a car accident, I'm already dedicating myself to science. So okay. If I can let some strangers cut me up and put me into other people or do whatever they can for science, at least I can give my body up to you so you can eat my ass.
In a non-sexual way,
more in a survival type situation.
See, all this does is go to show how much we care about each other, and we're not selfish people.
Yeah, exactly. We love each other.
Give me a hug. Eat my ass.
Eat my ass. Then, fine, you can hug me first.
Yeah. Oh God.
Let's talk about these preppers, right? All right.
Yeah,
so,
the for real preppers.
Yeah. Are they crazy? Like,
I mean, I feel like these people, like the different people are prepping and preparing for different scenarios, pretty much depending on their own unique life experiences and also where they live geographically.
Okay.
Because not everybody's preparing for the same thing. Got five preppers in a room. Each one of them could be prepping for something different.
Okay. So prior to this podcast, what comes to mind when I say the word prepper to you? What would you think?
Prior to this, I would immediately think, I mean, I would think someone who's a little out there with like a tinfoil hat. But the more I learn about it, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of validity to this stuff. Not all of it, but.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I don't go into this now thinking that these people are as wackadoo as maybe I did initially.
Okay. I mean, full disclosure here. I am an armchair prepper, but if you were to tell me, even prior to this podcast, okay, what do you think? What the first thing comes to mind when you think about prepper? I have those things too. Like, okay, you're kind of out there. You're kind of scared about the government going to do something. You're scared about the end of the world,
right.
Conspiracy, like blah, blah, blah. And naturally, and look, I am a self-proclaimed armchair prepper here. And I still think that. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking the same exact thing, but at least we learned a little bit about something here. We all have a little bit of survival instinct in us too, but these people are out there preparing for craziness. I mean, let's talk about the one show that's super famous, Doomsday Preppers, right?
Yes. On National Geographic.
I would say, quote unquote, everybody, right, has seen this show. Some of it's just quite, it's laughable. It really is. But then some of the stuff I'm like, okay, I kind of get that.
Yeah, if you go back and you watch season one, episode one, it's not as ridiculous as some of the other ones. Because I think as the show went on, they're just finding people that are
more out there.
Right. But the very first episode, it seemed more practical.
Yeah. So one of the examples, one of the things that people are preparing for is a nuclear disaster.
Sure. Okay.
That is one of them. Well, I'm not worried about a nuclear disaster because I'm not near a nuclear plant, but some people are. So to your point, like, okay, people are prepping for certain types of things depending on their situation and their location and so on and so forth. But I think like nuclear disaster, just not just too out there for me. It's like, what are the chances of that? And as soon as I say that, then I think about, okay, what about Fukushima that happened like 10 years ago? So right, it's not like it can't happen. Yeah. What about Chernobyl? I forgot about that one. Both of those were in our lifetimes too. This isn't like prior. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And you know what I always think of? I always think of Terminator 2.
Why? Terminator 2 is when like the guy was in like the liquid form and all that. What? That's not
T2, they show the whole nuclear blowout like people are holding onto the fence and then it blows their skin off.
Oh yeah.
That's just what I think of. And that's just the skeleton holding onto the chain link fence. Oh,
man, that kind of scared me too. I was like, this could really happen. Yeah.
For real, as a kid. That's what I'm saying. As a kid, I started thinking of this stuff. I'm like, oh my God.
Because
that
was like maybe 89, 91. So we were kids then. So.
And by the way, still one of the best Guns N' Roses songs ever. With your bitch slap rapping and your cocaine tongue, you're getting nothing done.
Why have I not heard that before?
That's the theme song from that movie.
Oh my God. So I have heard
it. And it's when they're like on the motorcycle, like riding.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
So that one's got it out there. So let's talk about another one. I don't know if you saw this one, but I remember one was like, we are preparing for an F5 tornado to take over. Okay, they may live in Oklahoma. Okay, fine. Okay, you're prepared for that. But people should be prepared for that every single day if you live in Oklahoma, right?
Yes, that's like, exactly. Exactly. Depending on where you live geographically, there are certain things that you should be preparing for regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
If you live in a place that is near the water, prepare for floods. If you're living in a place with earthquakes, prepare for that. Like, it's just kind of common sense.
So I think that we can give these preppers a pass. After all this conversation, we're going to give them a pass.
Yeah, there's some that are out there. They're logical, yeah. For sure.
If they're logical.
Yeah. Yes, if they're logical. But if you're interested in this kind of stuff too, you can easily do a Google search or a YouTube search and you'll come up with a lot of interesting things to watch and go down a rabbit hole with that. I actually found these two women. They have a channel and they put out stuff about how they are continuing to just trying to put food aside. Okay. And so all their videos are like, oh, we got a good haul, $30 for our thing. And then they show you what they got. And they're like, we got all this stuff on sale after the holidays. There's a 50-cent box of instant mashed potatoes. And so it's just stuff like that. And they're just putting it all aside. And then they have their dates on it. And they're like, this will last till 2045. You know what I mean? So,
you know what? When you say that, you know what also comes to mind?
What?
The extreme couponers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes. They're probably in that preparedness realm too. Not everybody, but I imagine that, okay, if you're in the preparedness, if your family's in the preparedness, you're probably into the extreme couponing craziness too, because those folks, it's an addiction. I think some of it's pretty cool. Like, man, they got all this kind of stuff. But I'm like, all right, man, can you, like, how many boxes of cereal do you really need to have, dude? Like, really? Do you need to have that much? Or how many tubs of mayonnaise you need to
have. Oh, Lord.
But I'm just saying, like, they could probably be the same thing. So, right? All right. Are they crazy? Nah, I don't think they're all that crazy. I think it's all right. So I think we can just say that, okay, son of preppers out there, we don't all think that you're crazy.
No.
Sometimes you got to take the tinfoil off your damn head and think about the reality of some of this stuff.
Yes. And they do, some of them do give good tips, like how to actually properly store stuff. So you can't just go buy a bag of, I don't know, say steel cut oats. and just leave it in the bag. You have to take it out of the bag it was that you purchased it in and then put it in some other container to where it's actually stored better.
Look at you doing a little reading and stuff. You see, and you thought you'd be dead in a couple of days. You got all your little tips. You got your hugs. You got your cards. You got your.
See, I'm more useful than you think.
Yeah. Okay. So you got your head on your shoulders. You're doing all right.
Yeah. Something about storing things in Mylar as well.
Yeah, and I don't know what exactly glass. Mylar. Mylar is some kind of a plastic, right? Mylar is some kind of a.
Yes, you like line certain things with Mylar. And then you can put your food in it.
Okay.
And that makes it last longer. So if you're, say you're using a big, like 5 gallon plastic jug to store something, you can put Mylar in it first and then store stuff. But a good way to store stuff too is in just glass jars. That's what I use currently. I have a ton of ball jars with, you know, my beans, my lentils, my rice, my whatever, like everything.
Yeah.
And it's just.
I do too. You start putting stuff in there. Yeah.
Last longer. So, hey.
So let's just rattle off a couple of things, what it really takes to be in a stressful situation. Because I think that surviving would be pretty stressful.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it definitely takes certain things to actually survive a disaster type situation.
And we've been talking about a lot of these things. One thing that comes to mind, like planning, right? If you're a prepper, prepping, planning, whatever, preparedness. So that's one thing you have to deal with, you know, training and your routine, right? You got to train.
Absolutely.
You got to make sure, like me thinking I'm going to bring to the table if we're on an island is friction fire making. Well, if I've never done that before and I read about it, I'm probably not going to be able to make a fire from rubbing two sticks together, literally.
And it's not like you had the little book on you, like, oh, here, let me pull my book on how to do it.
Step one, find two sticks. Yes. Step two.
Yes, you definitely have to train or at least try to do some of these things prior to actually finding yourself in a bad situation.
Right. And we're not talking about desert island, guys. We're also talking about, okay, maybe have a little bit of extra food. So that's like the training, meaning you've got to train yourself to buy. Every time you go to the grocery store, just buy one extra can. I mean,
exactly.
That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about you just learn how to rub two sticks together here.
And we're also not necessarily talking about, you know, training for a mud run or something either. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, that is helpful. But we're talking about training your mind and training your behaviors so that you can be more prepared.
Exactly.
Just in little ways. You don't have to be some crazy overhaul of your life.
No. Just one little thing here and there.
Yeah.
So
you go to the store to buy stuff, pick up an extra bag of rice.
Right. Common sense, just like you said. We're already talking about that. It takes common sense. It takes mental fortitude. We already talked about that too.
Absolutely.
You know, have a good head on your shoulders. A positive attitude.
Yep.
You know,
that's where those hugs come in. Because you know what? You hug somebody. Here's another tip, everybody. When you hug someone, next time you hug someone, hold that hug for at least 15 seconds. Try to get like 30 seconds, because the longer you hold that hug, you're going to start to create endorphins and all of those feel good hormones or whatever. And that actually not only makes you feel better, puts you in a better mood, but it also boosts your immune system. So overall, me saying I'm bringing hugs to the table is actually a really good fucking thing.
I don't know, the CDC would really appreciate that right now, but okay.
Well, we're going to pretend like that's not part of the thing. I'll wear my mask, my P100.
All right. Then you can hug and put your mask on first, bitch. You ain't going to be fucking hugging me out here with your damn coronavirus having ass. No, you're right. No, having a mental fortitude, the hugs, the bonding and all that, that gives the
positive attitude. Yep,
yeah.
Try to. Yes. And flexibility and your ability to adapt to things. That's a huge part, because if you're very rigid in your routines or whatever, like it's good to have routine, but if you're so rigid that just any slight hiccup or change just throws you off kilter,
yeah,
and you become overly stressed, you're probably not going to do so well, because you're going to have that flexibility and ability to adapt to survive.
You have to be able to do that instead of just breaking down. And look, if you're in a stressful situation, sometimes, you know, that just has to happen. I mean, look, you know, if your car breaks down or something like that, I mean, it's not a survival situation, but you got to have a lot of these things on that list too. You have some mental fortitude,
sure.
You got to know what you need to do. You can't just break down and just crying and blah, blah, blah. So
yeah, stuff could apply to all parts of your life.
Absolutely. And the last little one, vitality and health. Okay. Well, if you're going to survive and do that, okay, you have to be healthy. That's the first thing. Like if you're some kind of a decrepit person, not saying that anybody that's handicapped can't survive. It's just like, okay, if you stay healthy and make sure you have that mental attitude when you're in a stressful type situation, being healthy in general, it's just kind of common sense. It is what it is, whether it's survival or just everyday life.
Yeah, stress management and trying to maintain or improve your health is always a good idea. And this is kind of where it gets a little, I guess this is where I get a little sour, you know, like I get a little whatever, because in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, if something really happened and something, all this stuff really like shit hit the fan, I don't know if I would make it, not because I lack the other stuff, but because of my own health. Think about just the way the world is in general, how our society thinks about people with lesser abilities. We live in an ableist society. So if we already live in an ableist society, when it comes to surviving, you immediately think, oh, anybody who's less able, they're not going to make it, or, you know, they're going to get left behind, or people don't want to deal with them because they think that they're going to slow them down or that they don't have anything to offer. So that's kind of where my mind goes when I think about this.
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, but you're taking it way far out. You're taking it way far out thinking like it's like the zombie apocalypse. You're talking about that. What about, think about the what we're dealing with right now, baby. Right?
I'm thinking about very extreme situations.
Extreme situations. Yeah. Okay. Survival of the fittest. I get that piece, right? So you got to make sure you're there. Like if you're a diabetic and there's no hospitals and you need your insulin, okay. Well, you're going to have to really stock up on your insulin and some of those things. But I'm talking about like some of the everyday stuff, you know, going through the COVID pandemic that we're still going through and all that kind of stuff. Like we didn't just leave the elderly people behind and all of a sudden I'm like, well, we're just going to lock these doors and let them just go ahead and die off. I mean, that is not going to happen. I know that you're not in the greatest of health, but hey, look.
It ain't for lack of trying.
As long as you offer that body up to me before you die, you can say that you actually contributed to this.
I'll sign a piece of paper. Here you go.
While I'm eating on them thighs over a rotisserie. And be like,
yeah, yeah.
About time she contributed.
What a dick.
Oh, man. All right. So moving on to the next thing. All right. So after all this talk, sounds like me and you are ready for the end of the world, all right? But let's talk about, like, what can actually happen.
Yeah, practical stuff.
What real tips should we give our listeners right now? What they can do, that's very – even though we've actually been feeding a lot of great practical information now, right?
Well, I can think of one thing that recently happened here in Maryland during the snowstorm at the beginning of this month.
Okay.
There were two tractor trailers that jackknifed and caused a huge backup on 95. Backed up for like, what, 50 plus some miles?
Yeah.
People were stranded in their cars.
You're right.
For what was it, like a couple
24
days?
24 hours.
I feel like it was more than that.
No. It was like almost 2 days, I think. I think it was 24, almost 48 hours. It was a long ass time.
And it was in a snowstorm. They're stuck. They weren't like, oh, we're just trapped on the side of the road. We can get out of the car and walk over to the McDonald's. It wasn't like that. They're like stuck in this situation. So in this type of thing, this is stuff that can actually happen. It just happened. And things like this can happen at any time, any place. So at the bare minimum with this kind of thing, you should think about – What do you keep in your car in case something happens any time of year?
You're right. And depending on time of year, let's say it's wintertime. We're talking about that right now. It's winter now. So if you're stuck on 495, I mean, who hasn't been stuck on 495 in this area, right? Mm-hmm. But let's just say it's a really long time. First of all, I would be so pissed if I was one of those people, hundreds of people that were on 95 or 495 when that happened. No, it was 495 or 95?
95.
Okay.
Think
so keep
now you
stuff
got
in
me
your
second
car.
Guessing
I know I'm saying 495 because 495 is a terrible piece of road, but it was on 95.
The bane of our existence in the DMV.
Yeah, pretty much.
Probably is.
But practical, all right? Keep stuff in your car. Water, snacks, warm clothes, a battery pack, you know, one of those things that helps charge multiple devices. They're all over the place. You can probably buy them for like $30 right now, right? Keep a light source, a headlamp or a little flashlight or something. And don't think, well, my phone does all that. Well, you may be one of those people that your phone's going to die. Just have something that's separate. A small tool bag if you don't have that. You might need something if something is just messed up on the side of the car, at the side of the road, or let's say that it's snowing and gets stuck and AAA's not going to come out because everybody was just like your dumbass. You decided to go over your boyfriend's house in a snowstorm. You get stuck on the side of the damn road. Maybe have some tools or something. So you want to be able to do that. That's very, very practical.
Yeah. You know what else I keep in the car? I keep one of those Go Girls in the car.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was going to get Lisa one of those things. You know, I might do that for Valentine's Day. That's the perfect gift.
Go girl. If you don't know what a go girl is, it's a
Yeah, tell our listeners what it is.
it's a nice little silicone device that you can use to pee. So women can use it to pee standing up, or if you're in a car, you can use it to sit under you, and then you can actually point the little thing into a empty bottle.
Just like a guy.
Yeah.
I think those things
So,
are essential. If you're a boater, people that like to be on boats and all
yes,
that, if
boaters,
you're a boater,
campers, anything.
boaters, campers, and if you want to keep one just in case you get stuck on 95 for more than 24 hours, it's
Yeah, I
always
mean,
good to
what are you
have
going to
one of those
walk
things.
outside in the snowstorm and drop your drawers? And I mean, your ass is going to
Yeah.
freeze. So if you had a go girl, you could just do it in your car.
Very clever. And I don't know how much those things cost. They can't be more than $20, but.
No, not at all.
So
So, yep.
that's just one little thing. I mean, stuff at home, like stuff in your own house, right? Even things might get a little crazy, but if you have all these things inside your house, put them in one place, right? You know,
Yes.
get your candles, get your power sources, you know, get your backup batteries if you need those things, get your dry food, your canned food. So just think about those things. I mean, and even in one thing, it's like how to stay found, right? That's actually the name of a book. How to stay found. And that's if you're going out, you're hiking, you're camping, just really just keep your head on your shoulders. Tell someone where you're going. Make a plan. Take your cell phone with you. Don't say, well, I'm only going out for a really quick trail run. Next thing you know, and you'll end up in a ditch. I mean, there's so many stories out there about people surviving. And in retrospect, it's like, you know what? If I had my cell phone, I left it in my damn car. If I had my cell phone, I wouldn't be stuck drinking my own pee after being 4 days stuck in a gully
Oh,
in
Lord.
California. You know what I mean? I mean, and that stuff is really happening to people. So I guess that's the biggest takeaway. If you want to be able to be practical prepping, have an idea of what you need. Have some food. I would say a minimum 4 weeks of food.
Yeah.
And then you will be all right. So if you would have any takeaway from this for this has been a fun podcast. This is actually a lot of fun to talk about. We could talk about this forever, but we're not. We're coming to the end here. But you know, just have some food, start reading, just educate yourself just a little bit and have some fun with it too. You know, you can talk to your girlfriend, wife, your husband, whatever, and say, look, if this came down to it, what would you eat first?
Would you eat me?
Would you eat my ass? Because I know you're a freak like that. You'd probably go for my ass first, but you nasty ass
Yeah.
motherfucker. But at least I know. So, you know what? Tonight I'm going to have a serious conversation with my fiance. I'm going to say, okay, so what am I allowed to eat first?
Yeah. It's definitely so you have conversations with each other, you know, for sure. Make an emergency checklist and just figure out what y'all are going to do. And there's so many resources out there that it's kind of a no-brainer.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I, you know, this is actually a fun conversation. I really had a good time talking about this.
Yeah. And I have my one takeaway tip.
Okay.
You know, if nothing else, beans.
Jesus. That's all you can bring to the table is fucking beans?
I mean, it's right on par with everything else I've brought thus far, is it not?
You're gonna bring hugs
Hugs,
and
cards,
beans,
and
knocking on my door with you give me a hug. Oh, we really need this stressful times. Like, look, we can play some cards later. Oh, you hungry? I got
I
some
got
beans.
beans. Yeah.
All right, so on that note, let's go ahead and finish this thing up. You got any shout outs for everybody?
I do, but I think you should go first.
All right, fine. I am getting married at the end of this year, close to the end in September. So I want to give a shout out
Hooray!
to the venue. It's called Circle D Farm, and it's in Maryland. And it's www.circledfarm.com. Really nice venue, really affordable. We're having something that's really short and sweet, and it's an intimate event for me and Lisa and our family. So check them out. If you want to keep something really simple, honest, family business, check them out. That's my
Nice. Exciting.
shout out to Circle D.
Circle D.
Circle D.
Circle D's nuts.
Circle. I hate you.
Well, and
What do you
speaking of
got?
your lovely fiance, I wanted to give a shout out to her because she was one of our most recent donators on
Okay.
buymeacoffee.com. So thank you, Miss Lisa. We appreciate you.
Thank you, baby. You're helping us keep the lights on, boo-boo. Appreciate
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. And also, there's actually another donor, mystery donor. I call him Big Bala.
Oh, hey.
This person goes by Yoko Hotu. They gave a very generous donation, and I would like to read the message that they left us.
Please.
Yoko Hotu says, I enjoy the show. It brings back old memories of Laurel. Mostly good, some cringy. Keep up the good work.
Awesome.
So thank you so much. This was a very nice surprise, and thank you so much for your generous donation for the show.
Really appreciate it, guys. This helps us. When I say keep the lights on, this means that we have to record these things. That gets put in the cloud somewhere. We have to push these things, and that costs money. So there's things that we have to pay on.
Buttons and levers. Yeah.
Yeah. So to help keep these lights on, so to speak, yeah, there's a monthly thing that we have to pay, and we're just working off of just regular equipment too. So if these donations really start coming in, then we might be able just to start bumping up our stuff, get some equipment. And because you know who we're doing this for you. So we appreciate everything.
Yes, thank you so much, like truly from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Yeah, me too, really appreciate it. So like we end every podcast, baby, take us home.
So thank you guys so much for listening and spending time with us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And if you're feeling generous, please consider supporting the show on buymeacoffee.com. If you have a question, comment, or episode idea, or if you just want to drop us a line to say hello, you can reach us on Facebook and Instagram at Air Candy Podcast, or send an email to aircandypodcast@gmail.com. So hit us up, because we want to connect with you. And until next time...
peace.
Don't forget to have those hard conversations about eating ass.
Hey. I'd rather be stranded with you because, you know, if it's another dude, every time I take a bite of butt cheeks, I gotta say no homo. Take a slice of them cheeks. No homo, man.
Every bite.
Every bite. Oh my God. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm done.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was great.
Good job, Wiener.
You're right. Yeah. Good job, Wiener. Good job, Wiener.
Would you eat me?